Hello, my name's Matthew. I'm the lead pastor here at Cedar Ridge. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. Today is the last Sunday before Thanksgiving holiday, and so we're going to focus on thankfulness as our theme today. It's also the final Sunday in our series Recentering, which has been all about taking care of ourselves. And we're going to hear this morning from several people in our community who are going to share about different ways in which they're thankful, despite some difficult circumstances that they're going through and have been going through. And I think probably we can all relate to that. Life has been a struggle in 2020, and we're coming to that time of year where we're traditionally giving thanks. And that can be a bit of a struggle itself, I think. It can almost feel a little fake, a little forced. And I think it's important to acknowledge that thankfulness is not denying the difficulties in our lives. It's not faking it. It's simply acknowledging the fact that despite those things, there are still issues in our lives and things in our lives for which we can be grateful. And we're choosing to focus on those and celebrate them. I think what it does is thankfulness is an acknowledgement of our connection to one another, our interdependence. Every time we say thank you to somebody, such powerful words, we're acknowledging that what they did for us, what they gave us, perhaps just their presence in our lives is something precious to us, something of value to us that we want to say thank you for. We're acknowledging that we need them. We're acknowledging that we're interdependent. And I think that's a very powerful force in our lives. The awareness of that can be very powerful in our lives. And you know, struggle and difficulty often heightens our awareness of our interdependence. You know, when life's going well and we feel strong and things are ticking over quite nicely, we're very often less aware of our need for other people. And it's in the struggle that we become aware of it, and we become aware of what's really precious to us, and we can be grateful and thankful for it. I want to read a short passage before we hear from some of the others, where Jesus expresses thankfulness. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11. And we're going to read from the Message version of the Bible. It's a very modern translation. Here's what it says in verse 25. Abruptly, Jesus broke into prayer. Thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've concealed your ways from sophisticates and know-it-alls, but spelled them out clearly to ordinary people. Yes, Father, that's the way you like to work. So here is Jesus giving thanks for us, for people like us. I think often we think of thankfulness spiritually as, you know, we need to be thankful to God. And obviously that's a very positive dynamic. But maybe we could also think about it that God is thankful for us. Certainly Jesus is celebrating his people, his friends, his followers, the people who are around him. And he's identifying that with them as strugglers. He's saying it's lowly people, humble people, the ones that are following Jesus, perhaps the meek, and the poor in spirit that he talked about in the Beatitudes earlier in Matthew's Gospel. Those are his followers. It seems that it's the people who are struggling who seem to understand what Jesus is talking about. Perhaps it's the people with little to lose who are willing to open their hearts and minds to Jesus. The context of this passage is a time when Jesus has just sent out his disciples, the 12 we hear about in the Gospels, to go and do his work amongst the people. And he says, acknowledging, I think, that they're not necessarily strong, superhuman kind of people, but humble, meek people. When he sends them out, he says, I feel like I'm sending you out like sheep amongst wolves, because there are a lot of opponents of Jesus and a lot of people with power who are opposing Jesus. In the same passage, just before it, we read that John the Baptist's disciples come to Jesus, sent by John, who's in prison, imprisoned by Herod, and never gets out of prison and ends up getting executed by Herod. And he sends his disciples to say to Jesus, are you the one? Are you the one that was promised? And it's as though John is having doubts and he's questioning, because if you are the one, why am I still in prison? Why am I still struggling? Why is life like this? And Jesus talks so affectionately about John the Baptist and celebrates his life and gives thanks for his life too. And so we have Jesus here giving thanks for his struggling followers, if you like, and identifying as a fellow struggler. Jesus himself was opposed and persecuted and eventually arrested and tried and executed. And so Jesus is being thankful for us and kind of celebrating the fact that people, despite their struggles, are finding the reality of God's love. It's not a denial of that struggle, but perhaps an acknowledgement, as we were saying earlier, that it's in the struggle that we see what's really precious, we see what's really valuable to us, and we can give thanks truthfully and honestly and with sincerity and integrity. And Jesus himself clearly is celebrating that as he gives thanks. Immediately after this passage, Jesus says the words that we've been quoting pretty much every week during this series. He says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus is with us. Jesus is identifying with us in the struggle that we are experiencing. Jesus is calling us to walk side by side as one who's going to support us and champion us. And I think that's something that we can be really grateful for. So let's celebrate that gratefully and also kind of revel in Jesus' thankfulness for us, his followers. So we're going to hear from some people now. We're going to start off with the Crown Apples. They're going to come and share with us now. So let's welcome them.
Hi, Cedar Ridge. I'm John Crown Apple. And
I'm Erin Crown Apple.
And we're going to share a little bit about what our life has been like through COVID over the past 8 months, some of the challenges we've experienced, why it was challenging, and what we're grateful for through it all. We were talking just before we pressed record on this, and we thought it would be helpful to have a little bit of context on our family to better understand what we've been through. So Erin was pregnant and due at the end of May. Our baby son was born in June, actually. And so when everything shut down in March, there was that going on. It's also helpful to understand that we have four children and a dog. And the two oldest are here half of the time. The other half, they're with their mom, and one is 16 years old. The other is 13, and we have two really young children now. We have a 2-year-old and a 5-month-old. So to understand our family dynamics before March, there wasn't a lot of time for our 2-year-old, who was one at the time, to really bond with the two older siblings. And for us as a blended family, Erin and I have been married since 2017, and you know, we're still coming together as a family unit. So with that context, we want to talk a little bit about the challenges. And Erin, just why don't we start with what it was like for you being pregnant you know, after March with the due date at the end of May?
Yeah, it was scary. Hospital protocols changed every day almost every day, it seemed, as far as what they would allow. Just information about the virus was changing. It's still ever changing. And so to be pregnant and not really understand how it could affect you, it was really scary to be pregnant during that time. And like I said, with the hospital protocols, up until just before our son was born, it looked like John might not even be able to be there for the delivery. But it did change a couple weeks prior, and he was able to be there. Now, I had to be tested for COVID when I was admitted to the hospital. And even that was scary because I had to wait 30 minutes to find out. Now, we hadn't been anywhere. We were very intentional about being isolated, especially the last couple of months prior to the due date. So we figured there was a very, very low chance that I could have it. But just that 30 minutes waiting to find out that I was negative, thank goodness, that was really anxiety-inducing as well, because if I was positive, John couldn't be there. They would just take me away, and I would see him a couple days later with a baby. So it was scary, definitely scary.
Yeah, and there were so many little moments along the way that things just seemed impossible. So, I mean, I mentioned we have a dog. Even who was going to take care of the dog? Yeah. Because once I checked into the hospital, I wasn't allowed to leave.
Right.
So we're thinking, okay, who's going to be able to come over and take care of the dog? Who's going to be able to come over and take care of our two-year-old? Luckily, Aaron's mom was safe enough, quarantined, and came over and stayed with Eliza, the two-year-old. But there were so many just moments where it just seemed hopeless. Like it was there was no solution. Even we had a backup plan with taking care of our two-year-old, and they got COVID. The whole family got COVID. And then
like a week before
the week before. So, yeah. So everything worked out. When we got to Hopkins, they were remarkable. Mm-hmm. I mean, here we were just staying at home, and there they were going to work every day, delivering babies still, and were so supportive. So that was a great experience.
Yeah.
So what about our family unit? Here we are, a family still, you know, gelling, blended. Mm-hmm. How is the, you know, past 8 months impacted us?
It's been amazing for the kids especially. I mean, I think all of us have bonded more just because we've had so much more time together that we wouldn't otherwise. It's been great. I know it's been hard for a lot of families during this time, but for us specifically, just having the time together that we wouldn't normally otherwise, because we're not running kids around to extracurricular activities or school, or we're physically together so much more that we've been able to have a lot of fun together.
Yeah, the climate here with everyone is, I would go as far to say, night and day different mm-hmm. from what it was prior to March. There's really great relationships going on with all of us, and especially looking at the bond between the 16-year-old and the 2-year-old and how tight they are, and just knowing that there is no way that could have happened, because before March, they might have had dinner with each other like once a week, but that's about it. You know, the older ones in high school running around with their schedule busy.
Yeah.
Just never would have happened. So for all of that, it's been grateful. We're not gonna lie. It's there are times when it still seems impossible, like today and
today
yesterday.
The baby doesn't sleep.
Yeah, he wakes up like 4 to 6 times a night, and right now it seems impossible, but I mean, it helps to remember that we've had many moments that seem impossible, and so we just have to keep our faith that, you know, one day at a time, and there are good things that are going to come out of, you know, our time together right now. So thank you, everyone.
Hi, friends at Cedar Ridge. This is Erin Johnson. Wanted to send a message of how our family has been very thankful this Thanksgiving. Last year, Thanksgiving, our daughter Chelsea, who was born at 23 weeks, was actually sent to the emergency room with pneumonia last Thanksgiving. So that was very interesting to reflect back. And then she came home after 8 months in January, and then ended up getting the flu in February. Most of us got sick, and then I also ended up with pneumonia and then Lyme disease. So when you look back and you reflect on how did we get through all of this, and then COVID happened, and then we had to start homeschooling Brooke at 5 years old, and you just have to thank God and have faith, because I don't know how our family would have gotten through all of this with the support of each other, and more importantly, the friends at Cedar Ridge who came and brought us meals before COVID hit. We are very thankful in this Thanksgiving to be spending it in our home with Chelsea, Brooke, and Sean, and myself. We wish you a very happy Thanksgiving to your family from ours.
Hello there, how you doing? My name is Curtis Robert. You probably know me as the guy who's always with Stacy all the time. But Matthew approached me probably about 2 or 3 weeks ago and asked me, could I share my story and what I'm grateful about? Well, my story that he wanted me to share with you started about 30 years ago. I was diagnosed with a heart murmur. And over the years, they said that it would get worse and worse. And it did. It did. I wound up having congested heart failure at least 3 times. I also had a heart attack, which was in 2018, that had me in the hospital for quite a while. And then after that, last year, I had a heart transplant. Now, the doctors were you know, it's an amazing story because the doctors wonder how I was able to survive the last one when I had the heart attack. I was actually in the gym getting off the treadmill when that happened. I didn't realize what had happened to me. All I know is I woke up in the hospital, and I really don't remember much because put me in. I was in a coma. They put me into an induced coma, and I was in that state for a while. And from what I understand, now you got to remember what I'm sharing with you. Some of this information is second and third hand because I was not aware of my surroundings whatsoever. I understand that the doctors did not think that I was going to survive after having the heart attack itself. But I did pull through because through the grace of God and through all the many prayers that I received from all over the place, people who I didn't even know, they had a prayer line at the hospital. I understand there were anywhere from 40 to 50 people there praying for me. And, you know, when you have so many people praying for you, it is, in my opinion, this is my opinion, there is a God, and God heard their prayers for me. And then also I wanted to survive. I guess subconsciously, my mind was telling my body, you need to survive this. So anyway, I got through that portion. And then last year, I went into the hospital because my heart got worse. Now, by the way, I forgot to tell you this. I had at least two defibrillators replaced in my chest to help my heart over the period of time when I had a congested heart failures. But last year I had a transplant. I went into the hospital around April the 9th, and I think I came out sometime in June around Father's Day or something like that after the transplant. Now, the whole time that I was in the hospital, I was in and out. People were coming to see me, praying over me, and I was praying also. You know, I was praying to God, you know, I can't do this by myself. I can't make it because, you know, when you're in the hospital for a long period of time, you know, I was hallucinating. I was hurting. I couldn't move. They had all kind of tubes. I was on dialysis. I had more equipment in my room, they tell me, that it looks like, you know, nobody could hardly even get in there. That's how much they had on going on with me. By the way, while I was in the hospital waiting for my transplant, I had two or three heart attacks, and they had to revive me when I was in the hospital. I wound up having the transplant, and also I had to have a portion of my lower intestine removed two or three days later after the transplant. So when that portion happened, I guess my intestine was poisoning my body. And through the grace of God, Stacy came to the hospital to see me that night. Now, please understand, this she's very special because I don't think she has missed like that whole almost 2 months that I was in the hospital. I think she might have missed two or three times coming to see me. But it was always, always a pleasure to see her. All the time, because being in the hospital that long and not being able to move and just, you know, your mind is playing games on you, and you know, it was tough. I wouldn't highly recommend it to anyone want to spend that kind of time, and for what I went to the hospital for. Now, moving forward, you know, they revived me. Two or three times because I did have a heart attack while I was in there waiting for my heart. I think it was around about April the 28th, I believe it was when I got my heart. And they, you know, I had the surgery, and like I pointed out, two or three days later, I had the lower intestine. They had to cut a portion of that out. From what I understand is that if they would have had to cut out any more than what they took, I would have probably wind up with what they call one of those body bags on the side of me. But thank God that Stacy came to see me that night, and she told them there was something wrong because my stomach was extended. I guess I was unconscious and I was changing colors. And she informed the doctors, and everything that there's something wrong, and they did emergency surgery and they found out what was going on. So I'm very thankful for the people who are in my life, and particularly Stacy. I'm thankful for my family and my friends and people who I did not even know who prayed for me, because God heard your prayers. I even, when I was in the hospital, you know, I had to reach out to him and just let him know that, you know, God, please, you know, give me mercy. And he gave me mercy, and I'm here to tell it. So I feel that it's necessary that I tell my story to whoever wants to hear it. And I thank Matthew for asking me. So I'm very grateful for my life. I'm grateful for Stacy and the people who love me. And thank you for the friendship that I have developed at Cedar Ridge. May God always be with us. Amen.
Good morning, Cedar Ridge families. I'm Wendy Ormsby, and Pastor Matthew asked if I would share some thoughts about the challenges I've faced throughout this year and what I'm grateful for at this time. I was diagnosed with invasive breast cancer on January 8th. Talk about a surreal moment. In my experience, there's no other feeling like hearing a doctor say, "You have cancer." Initially, all kinds of thoughts went through my head. Then, as my doctor continued talking to me, I felt like I was watching the whole scenario from across the room. It was like the word cancer just filled my mind, leaving no room for any other words or images. And, as if that wasn't surreal enough, the word of a potentially deadly virus entering the U.S. hit the news. Then, eventually, the virus began to hit a little closer to home. Nothing like heightening one's level of anxiety. I know many people around the world were worried about their general health because of the pandemic, but my main focus at that point was on getting rid of this cancer. It was a frightening combination of finding the right team of doctors and the safest places to go for my cancer treatments as the pandemic continued to spread. Eventually, I found a complete and excellent team of doctors and places to help me get through those treatments safely. However, it was not exactly smooth sailing along the way. Finding the right doctor for yourself is not always easy. You hope and pray for their profound knowledge in your situation and, if you're really lucky, a great bedside manner to go with it. Unfortunately, soon after my diagnosis, I was struggling to find a medical oncologist who fit that description, or at least came close. After seeing the first medical oncologist 3 times and having no better knowledge of my cancer, I decided to continue searching for a better doctor. Then I found another one in the same practice, and she was even worse. Like I said, a good bedside manner is a real plus in my book. Well, third time was definitely a charm. I now have a fantastic medical oncologist for the next 10 years to come. The much welcome prayers, persistence, and tremendous amount of support eventually paid off in the long run. Another member of the cancer team is my surgeon. She is excellent. Before the surgery, she explained everything in a way that made me feel like I was going to be okay. And in hindsight, I am incredibly thankful that I had the surgery when I did, considering the first known cases of COVID-19 in our area were discovered less than 3 weeks later. Lastly, there were continuous setbacks to my treatments, like allergic reactions to one of the chemo meds on 2 occasions, back spasms from much needed medicine to help keep my white blood cell count up, especially during a pandemic, and additional pain during radiation treatments due to an already injured shoulder. Still, I'm very grateful because throughout the ups and downs, I had that tremendous amount of support and love from family, longtime friends, new friends, and last but certainly not least, many, many Cedar Ridge families. And on September 28th, my medical oncologist told me that there was no evidence of cancer. No words can express how absolutely grateful I am to everyone. Thanksgiving has been my favorite holiday for some time now. At Thanksgiving, I'm reminded of how grateful I am for even the littlest things in life. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.
Thanks so much to everybody for sharing with us. We really appreciate it. We're going to take communion now. And communion is a celebration. It's a time when we remember that Jesus is with us. So as we do that this morning, let's remember that the same Jesus that identifies with our struggles, that aligns with us in our struggle, the same Jesus who called us in our struggles to come to him for rest, for help, for support, that same Jesus is present with us right now. That's something worth celebrating, something being worth being grateful for. And in the context of all that, let's absorb the reality that Jesus is grateful for us and celebrates us. And we can also celebrate our interdependence, our connection to one another, some of the connections we have within this community, but the other people outside of this community who love us and we love. We can celebrate people who depend on us, who need us. We can celebrate and be grateful for people on whom we depend, people that we need. People who are precious to us. So much to be grateful for as we take communion. So let's eat and drink together.